I talk in my hand, so this is going to be interesting to have one of them not working. Hi, everyone. My name's Alyssa. I'm going to first start with a word from Scripture that Pastor Todd asked me to open with, that he was instructed to open with. And we'll go with a little prayer, and then we'll dive into the message that I believe the Holy Spirit put on my heart for you today. So first, Isaiah 50. This is chapter 50, verses 4 through 5. In my Bible, it's entitled, The Lord's Obedient Servant. The Sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom, so that I know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. The Sovereign Lord has spoken to me, and I have listened. I have not rebelled or turned away. Again, that was Isaiah 50, verse 4 through 5. If you go ahead and just bow your head for me, and we'll pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, I know that I cannot be up here without you. I know that it is an honor and a privilege to be able to be a vessel for you, Jesus. And I just pray that these would be your words. I don't want to do this just through my own strength, my own enthusiasm, my own passion. I don't want to do it just because you gave me a gift for speaking and putting words together in a way that sounds nice. I want to do it because your anointing is running through me and out of me, because your power has to be in it, or it doesn't matter, or it's just words that don't land in hearts that need to hear them. So Holy Spirit, would you please just fall upon this place? Move through me, speak through me. I thank you so much, Jesus, for the way that you have worked on my own heart to get me to this place where I could possibly be able to stand up here and feel like I am so unqualified to speak, and yet honored that Pastor Todd would trust me in such a way. And I know that I am not alone in thinking that you're disqualified in some way, or that you screwed up too many times. I know that others in the room feel the same. I know that others in the room might be going through seasons that are difficult. I know that they might be struggling to feel like they want to be obedient to the season that they are in. And I pray that, just as Isaiah says, I pray that I'm able to, in some way, shape, or form, that this word can bring them comfort, that it can put a pep in their step and redirect their sight back to you, Jesus. I love you. I lift you up. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so with that, Pastor Todd texted me the week of Valentine's Day, and he texted me and says that, you know, the Holy Spirit's been putting it, like, in my spirit, I need to ask you if you want to speak at the gathering, and I'll give you 25 minutes to say whatever the Holy Spirit puts on your heart. I was on the middle of a work retreat when he texted me this, and of course I read the text, and I'm like, this is interesting. This was not on my bingo card at all for February, let alone the entire year of 2026, or maybe my entire life, for any pastor to ask me to speak. I felt like Moses in that moment when he's like, who am I? Really, who am I? I cannot do this. Like, I am so unqualified, right? And yet, I knew that there had to have been some good reason that he asked me to be up here today. And I was with my friend Brooke that I work with, and I said to her, I said, what am I possibly going to say to them that they have not heard before? And she just lovingly said, what does Ecclesiastes say? There's nothing new under the sun. And I was like, you're right. You're right. I don't have to come up here and reinvent the wheel. There's nothing that I can possibly add to this, right? So this isn't a message maybe you haven't heard before, but it's in a way that the Holy Spirit spoke it to me, that I want to give it to you today. And there's no junior Holy Spirit, and I keep telling myself that, because quite frankly, when I say, like, who am I, it's because if you get to know me, I didn't come back to Jesus, or I should say really come to Jesus at all. I didn't have him in my life up until 2022, and it was at the very end of 2022, and I was not living for him in any way, shape, or form. In fact, I was taking people away from Jesus. I was taking people further and further into themselves, and under my own mass deception by Satan in the New Age spirituality world, and had a very thriving online business that was six figures, that was looking real good by worldly standards. And the flashy, you know, all the Instagram and the followers and all of that. And so for me to be up here today, when the last thing I ever thought would be like, I'm gonna talk about Jesus, that just blows my mind. And that's on God, that is on sanctification. So if you're ever wondering, who am I? I mean, who is he? Right? It's don't look at yourself like that. Look at him. Look at him. So with that, I have a message for you. And again, I don't think you've not heard it before, but I think it's important nonetheless. I talked about Ecclesiastes, right? I already mentioned that. That's going to be the founding scripture really for today that I want to point you to. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, so let's go there. I've got so many bunny ears in my Bible. Okay, here we go. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, so beautiful. I know you've read this before. Ecclesiastes is one of my favorite books of the Bible. Unpopular opinion, it is one of my favorite books of the Bible. I love it so much. Chapter 3, a time for everything. For everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Verse 11, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. Which brings me to the theme that I heard when I was standing in a church bathroom, no less. The title of the message that came to me was, the sun is in the season. Season, of course, spelled S-E-A-S-O-N. The sun is in the season. Just standing in the bathroom, like washing my hands, and I just heard that. Okay, the sun is in the season. I thought, there it is. There's something there. I need to talk more about that. There we go. So with that, brings me to the concept of obedience over desire. When we talk about seasons, it immediately came to me, I got to talk about obedience if I'm going to talk about seasons. And in order to get there, I want to kind of take you on a little journey through my dating life. as we say in my generation, right, we're like, we're going to spill the tea. So I'm going to like walk you through a little story time here of my dating life, very real time, to explain this point that I'm trying to hone in on today around choosing obedience over desire in a particular season that you might be in. So my friends, they already like know all this tea because, you know, we talk about all these things, but you're getting background knowledge on this. So essentially, I'm on this work retreat, right? And it's the week of Valentine's Day that I was on this work retreat. And it just so happens that it got rescheduled so that I was going to be able to go see this guy that I've been talking to for about a month. And he lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. And because the snowstorm rescheduled everything, it worked out perfectly that I was gonna be there and I could just come right from Pinehurst, go down through Charlotte, and then come back home to Lexington. And I could be with him in person because we'd only been talking over the phone, and you know how that is. And I hadn't seen him in person in a year. He's one of my good friends, boyfriend's best friend. And I had met him in a year ago, almost to the date, whenever we met up again. So we meet up. and we're at his place, and don't worry, it was totally PG. We're like doing things. My friends would not let me do anything if there wasn't a spare bedroom involved. Like, all good. So there's two bedrooms. We're fine. He wines and dines me. We go out to dinner. It's a great time. He's a gentleman. He's a man of the Lord. Like, honestly, it kind of freaks me out. He's such a good guy, honestly. And I'm not used to that. So that all happens. I drive home. And then the day before Valentine's Day, February 13th, I just get this, like, feeling. I think I have to tell him I can't see him. Like, I don't think we can do this. And it was like, why? Like, I knew that I felt some kind of resistance was coming up, and I had all these things in my head. And so I thought, well, do I text him? Do I just call him on the phone? What do I do? And then I thought, no, Alyssa, you need to call him. He needs to hear your voice. And he needs to be a part of this conversation. Don't let this be one-sided. Include him in the conversation. Make him feel involved in it. And so I call him up, February 13th, and I ask him about his vision for his life and what he wants. I ask him if he wants to be mutually exclusive, because we've only been talking for a month. And he says, yeah, I do. I don't want to talk to anyone else. And I was like, okay, well, I don't want to be mutually exclusive, and I don't think I can give you that right now, and here's why. The season of life that I'm in is what I feel very strongly at the top of the year. The Lord told me, this is your year of adventure with me, and you're going to travel a lot. And I have pages and pages in my journal at the top of the year that I wrote all this stuff down. And it came through so clear that he was like, this year is going to be different than any year before. And it was this answered prayer. This job I have is completely remote, fully stable salary job, wonderful team. It's truly like everything I've always wanted. And I felt like he'd given me this permission slip. Go. Like, there was something about go and forward movement and momentum, and you can't stay here, you can't stay in Lexington, I need you to go. Like, we're gonna go. He went on this whole tangent with me about biblical adventure, that's a whole sermon in and of itself, versus just adventure for entertainment. And he just told me, like, this is gonna be your, you're gonna go, and you're not gonna stay in South Carolina. So I explained this to this guy, and I said, you know, for these reasons, it would be disobedient for me to start this relationship with you at this time. It's not right. Like, I can't do it. I can't give you the attention you deserve. And most importantly, I don't think I can be present to the season that I'm in right now with God if I start this relationship with you. And as I'm explaining this to him, I got tears in my eyes. And that was the most surprising thing. I said, this is absolutely bizarre to me. Almost my exact words. I said, I thought I wanted to be married again more than anything. And then it hit me as I'm telling him, actually the thing I want more than anything is to be obedient to what I believe God is telling me is my season with him. And I got teary-eyed and I was like, whoa. Because context, I was married, and that was pre-Jesus days. I'm one of those stories, there's a delineating line in the sand, like pre-Jesus, after Jesus. It's a hard line. And my marriage did not have God in it at all. I've often questioned, what the heck was that marriage founded on? Because it was not founded in the Lord. And I don't say that rudely. I loved that man, but it wasn't founded in Jesus. And I deeply want to be married again. I really do. I want to be a godly wife. Like, I do. But it just hit me like, oh my gosh, I can't do this right now. I can't start a relationship right now. I'm about to go travel. I'm going to Phoenix. I'm going to San Francisco. I'm going to Nashville. I'm going to Miami. I'm going to Atlanta. I'm going to Puerto Rico. I'm going to Cancun. I'm planning to go to Europe in the summer. Like, I can't do this. Like, I got plans. I'm going on an adventure with God. I can't do this. And it was bizarre to me. But of course, he's a good guy. He's a man of God, and he's like, I can't argue with that. Like, that's beautiful. If you feel like this is you being disobedient, then okay. And we'll keep the door open, and that was that. And it was a very good conversation, very healing conversation for me with men, honestly. And That's where that left off. All of that to say, that was that obedience over my desire in that season that I feel very strongly I know where I'm at, that I had to surrender that desire over for obedience instead, which then brought me further in towards the conversation of obedience and then sacrifice. And then he starts taking me down this conversation. I'm like, okay, so now we're going to talk about those. Okay, that's a lot. Let's go there. And he points me to 1 Samuel. So let me find it there. I think I got that somewhere. Hold on. I got so many bunny ears in my Bible. Hopefully I didn't lose it. Of course I misplaced it. Bear with me. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And it starts at verse 22 to 26. But Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams." And then I went to Amos chapter 4, verse 4, and this is where God is straight up rejecting empty religious sacrifice without obedience. He's like, "I don't want it." And we see it all through even, right, the Israelites. What are they doing? Being disobedient the entire time that they're in. What's the name of the season that they're in? Like, we always say this in church. It's very churchy. It starts with a W. They're a wilderness, right? They're in a wilderness season. I've been in a wilderness season. I'm pretty sure if you know Jesus, you've been through a wilderness season. So all through their wilderness season, they're being disobedient again and again and again and again. Like, they just cannot get it right. To the point that, right, what God eventually says, none of you in this generation are making it to the milk and honey. Like, your children will, but you will not. There's been continued disobedience, and it's hollow. The sacrifices, all of it is hollow. It's not genuine. Because your feelings, it's not about the feeling, it's not about the desire. The obedience has to drive the action. And then I started going down towards looking at Jesus and Gethsemane. Hardest word to say, I swear, I trip over that every time. His sacrifice rode on his obedience. Because he asked the Father, "Will you take this cup from me?" And God said, "No." And that sacrifice, although it was the most incredible gift that any of us will ever have in our lifetime, it rode on the obedience. One had to come before the other. One was a byproduct, a fruit of the other. The sacrifice, it wouldn't have happened without Jesus being willing to be obedient to what the Father was asking of him in that moment. So wherever you are right now, I know that you're in a specific season. Are you being obedient in it? And I also, with that, like, even though obedience is more important than sacrifice, there will also still be sacrifices as well. That's inevitable. Like, absolutely inevitable. I know that because I've 100% lived that. Listen, when I started coming back to Jesus, that didn't look too pretty. My whole life blew up. My friends know, because they're the bestest friends ever, and they didn't walk away from me when I was an absolute disaster. And lost everything. I mean, I sacrificed my career that I had built. I sacrificed 6 figures. I sacrificed all these followers that I had. I sacrificed my reputation. I had people telling me online that they basically hated me, that I was, like, just saying awful things about me. I sacrificed, right, the money. my belief system, my worldview, I mean, all of it, right? Just throw that into the fire, like up, for, it's up for sacrifice, there you go. He asked me to literally sacrifice, give up everything to follow him that was what I knew. And I know that if you're in a season where he's asking, he's giving, even if you're in like a sweet season, there are always still things he might be asking you to sacrifice your time. He might be asking you to sacrifice your comfort, your money. There is something in every single season of life. I don't care if it's quote unquote good or bad season, there will be sacrifice involved, always. And are you going to be obedient enough to actually do it, to actually live it out, to walk out that season with him and mine every single lesson that is in that season? I know what it is to go through some terrible ones where you're not wanting to have to deal with it. I've been through, right? When I came to Jesus, that was the season of depression. That was the spiritual warfare. That was the insomnia. That was the suicidal thoughts. That was, it was terrible. But that was the season I was in. And I can tell you now, I'm in a really sweet season. I'm so not there anymore. But that's like, that's life. There are going to be so many different seasons that we walk through. So, some questions for you around this. Are you resisting your current season? Are you comparing your season to others? We love to do that. Like, her season looks a lot better than mine. Are you extracting, I said, like, are you mining the lessons that are right here in the season that you're in? And I really, this one to me is really key. What are you learning about God in this season? You're learning something about him. So often, because I come out of the world of self-development land, like that's, you know, its own whole thing. Self, self, self. We're always focused on, but what am I learning about me? What are you learning about God in this season? Even if it's a good one, are you learning him as provider? Are you learning him as healer? Are you learning him like as sovereign Lord? Like, what are you learning him as? I hope that you are learning more about him in the season that you're currently in. Can you honestly say that you are? Or are you missing it? Because I promise you, right? You know how it is. If you're in a season and you miss it, we know what happens. It's going to come right back around again. He's going to bring it back. And I don't know about you. There are seasons of my life I'm like, please never, Lord. I don't ever want to go back to that season again. Did I figure it out? I really hope and pray I figured it out because I don't want to go back. So figure it out. Use that time wisely. What he kept telling me at the top of the year, it was this simple phrase that I wrote in my journal. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. And for those reasons, that's why I had to have that conversation with that lovely man. Because I was like, wait a minute. I don't want to miss this season. I don't want to miss this season with him. This sweet, sweet season. I don't want to do that thing where I get distracted by a man. I don't want to do that. I've been there, done that. I've let men dictate my life in different ways. Nope. He's the only man I want to dictate me. I'm not doing that again. Don't miss it. I mean, honestly, the sun is in the season. He is in the season that you are in right now. Start thinking about this now. Start thinking about this now. What season am I in? What season are you in? If you named it. You all are talking to the Holy Spirit all the time. I know this is a wonderful bunch of believers. I know you're talking to the Holy Spirit all the time. What is the season that he's giving you? I'm sure you're aware. Is it a season of refinement? Is it pruning? If it's pruning, I'm so sorry. That's a rough season to be in, but it's going to be good. Is it waiting? Is it abundance? Is it a sweet season? Is it a season of expansion? Is it discipline? Is it a season of giving and pouring out? A season of service? What is it? You know, I'm from the North. I'm from Pittsburgh. Originally, I moved here 4 years ago, right about the time when my life was imploding. I met Jesus 6 months after moving to South Carolina. Go figure. Moves to the Bible Belt, finds Jesus. And he stopped me dead in my tracks. He was like, I'm done with your foolishness. Like, we are taking the wheel. And he stopped me right where I was, because I was imploding my own life, basically. And I cannot tell you that if you want to talk about the literal seasons, you know, I've grew up with all four seasons, right? I'm from Pittsburgh. We have all four. And I'll tell you right now, the reason I keep running back to Phoenix, like I'm leaving again on the 25th, is because, man, I appreciate that sunshine. Unlike the people in Florida, grew up in Florida, right? They don't get it. They don't know all the seasons. They can't appreciate that sunshine. I can't. I grew up in a very gray town with a lot of rain. So, man, do I appreciate those sunshine seasons. And that's life. That's just like life, right? Yet, truly, it's, you cannot fully know joy, the joy of the Lord, if you have not been on your knees in absolute grief of what you have, of loss. I don't know that that's possible. And so, you know, we like to complain about our sufferings, but my gosh, you know the joy of the Lord on the other side of that. You really do. We need the seasons. We need the literal seasons. They move agriculture. They move us psychologically, the ecosystem. Like, God designed the seasons, the literal ones, right? Spring, summer, fall, winter. And we need all these seasons of life, all of them, to understand yourself, but most importantly, to understand him and to be refined into the person that he is making you to be more like him. So in that, this is where I kind of want to like pull from each of you as I start to bring this home. I asked you, like, what season are you in? And this is where I'm going to make you uncomfortable. And I want someone to, like, raise your hand and tell me, like, what season are you in? Just, like, one word. What season are you in? Just raise your hand and tell me. What season? Season of release. Don't miss it. Clueless? A season of clueless? Don't miss it. What was it? Season of healing. Don't miss it. What else? Season of learning. Don't miss it, Brandon. What else? Ooh. We say that with you. Ooh. A season of discipline. Don't miss it. Don't miss that one. What else? A season of breaking through. Don't miss it. Ryan. A season of religion. Don't miss it. Season of refinement. Don't miss that one. Lens. Yeah, you are. A season of preparation. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. In the back. Ooh, a season of recovery. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. The last scripture that I want to bring you to is in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. I have sat with this thinking of all the things Jesus could leave us with before he ascends. He wants to talk to you about time. And of course, yes, we know he's focused on when am I coming back? That's the specific question they're asking. But the Holy Spirit, I feel very strongly, he was like, there's more here. This is a conversation about our obsession with timing. because it's about control. And often we're asking not just why, but we're asking another W, when. And of all the things he wanted to talk to the disciples about, and I believe talk to us about, he's bringing up timing. And when you talk about seasons, you can't not talk about time. It's just a part of it. And you don't want to do anything out of season, right? Just like you don't want to buy like fruit out of season. It's not as juicy. Snow in the middle of summer, it don't make sense, right? You don't want to do things out of the season that God has you in. Because I promise you, I've done that. And it will just be you and your strength trying to do it. And you'll probably end up missing it, right? You will miss everything that's actually there for you. Timing is the Father's business. That is what I just kept. It's timing is the Father's business. Our obsession with when, he's like, no, that's not your business. You can ask why. You can ask why. But when, that one is going to really trip you up if you obsess over that and control that. Our job is really just remain faithful, be obedient, and be present in the season that you're in. That's it. And if you can do that, you can start to release that when question. Be faithful, be obedient, be present. The Son is in every season. He is in that refinement. He's in that recovery. He's in the cluelessness. He's in all of it. The healing. He's in the religion. He's in all that. The breakthrough. He's in it. The Son is in every season. The question is, are you going to be obedient in it? Are you going to be present in it? Are you going to mine every single lesson that is in that season? Are you going to extract every single blessing? Are you going to stay present with God in the now? And are you going to learn more about God in this season? The Son is in the season. Don't miss it. And don't miss him in it. Okay? With that, I'm going to give it over to Pastor Todd.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a hot pulpit up here. Pulpit is hot. Praise the Lord. And sometimes the Lord manifests himself in different ways. And there's a big fog up here. For at least from back there, it looked like there's a fog. I can't wait till the time that really just happens. Anybody feel that earthquake in Irmo underneath my house? I mean, literally. It was just bam. It was the loudest noise I'd ever heard. Yeah, it was like a lightning bolt hit, you know, right near your house, and just bam. And it was like right underneath my house. I know it was in the lake, but I wasn't that far away from it, I guess. But I wondered about it, you know. I said, well, you know, it wasn't going to rain, and I thought maybe it sounded like an airliner had wrecked into the earth. It was just tremendous. And anyway, so good that other people heard it. The great repositioning is actually occurring and right now, and everyone here is being repositioned to one degree or another. And I want to touch on what she was really laying a great foundation on, these seasons that we're in. And but it's always to reposition you, because the position that you're in right now is not where you're going to be in 6 months from now or a year from now. And so in order to reposition you, that requires, as she was pointing out, refinement or change. And I really appreciated some of the feedback people were identifying what season you were in, which is a blessing to me, because one of the things I'm always concerned about is whether the body of Christ understands, if you understand how you're being trained. You know, for if you're in a military operation, there's training that goes on in the military prior to any operation. And in fact, they train, you know, and even simulate, and there are all kinds of things that happen in that military preparation. So you and I are being prepared before a future event in our life, always. And so we have to understand that. But when you think in terms of a military, a militant church, you have to think, you're thinking about a church that's on the move. You're thinking about a church that actually has a plan to assault the gates of hell. You're thinking about a church that has a general, Jesus, who has eyes of fire, and he's walking among the seven candlesticks, as you saw in the book of Revelation, and he's assessing his army, and he has things to say to it. Because I've never been in the army. I'm a coach, and I've kind of considered what I did a little bit like army, you know, because I'm trying to teach people to hurl themselves off high places, and there's a certain amount of disciplines that comes with that, because if you don't listen to the coach, sometimes you just land flat, you know, and it doesn't feel good. So you must understand that God is doing something in the body on a macro basis, but it's also on a micro basis, and so he's individually working with you and me. And so the very fact that you can identify the season that you're in speaks to me that you are understanding how the Holy Spirit is training you. But you need to get more refined with that. You need to get more detailed with that. You need to get more impressed into God to really try to get from Jesus, how are you training me? I want to know how you're training me. I want to understand this. But it takes a pressing in to get that. You don't just get it. I don't know why that is, but there's something about people that press into God. I think it's what he said, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. You have to force your way in sometimes into that room. Now, we can boldly go through to the throne room, but when you're forcing your way into this training, into the seasons that you're in, to understand how God is training you, you can articulate it, and you can actually write it down on a piece of paper, and you can stick it on your mirror and see it in the morning, because it will become more real to you that way. It's a reminder, because I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded at times. I just don't always automatically remember things. And so by putting them on a piece of paper and putting it on my mirror, I can look and see, I can actually have how God is training me. I can be ready for the day, because if I understand how he's training me, every day that comes your way will have something in it for you to exercise the very thing that he's training you to do. And when you become one with that, you begin to make some progress where you're not ending into that same season again, as my sister was sharing earlier, because you will go through it again. You can be like the Israelites, where God finally said to them, you have dwelt on this mountain long enough. And so the body of Christ has got to move forward, because he is preparing that body for a future event. And you're part of that event. You know, it seems to me that there's a part of the body of Christ that seems to be so sensitive to the return. His return is coming upon us. And there's another part that kind of seems like, well, it's going to be off in the distance. It's going to happen maybe down the road. And they become unaware of the events that are occurring around the earth. It's just going over their heads. You're not like that. I appreciate what my sister also said about that group. Do you realize that people that attend this thing have a reputation? I get this from the ministers all the time that come here and visit. So these guys are serious. They're not used to that. It might not be thousands here right now, but you have to understand that when you're in a group that are serious, that actually are actually following the Lord and going for it, it's a little bit different, because it's like when you have a minister or somebody in front of you, and you have that attitude of wanting to learn. What happens is it puts a demand upon the anointing, and when that demand is on the anointing, the Holy Spirit shows up and starts to pour through and pour at you and give you the information that you need to go out there and do it. But you're in a season of being repositioned. And so to be repositioned, it's necessary to go through a level of refinement. But when you can articulate how you're being trained, And you can wake up every day understanding that. What happens is you're opening up your spiritual ears to hear the Holy Spirit in a very, very fine-tuned, very precise way. Because when Jesus sat there and said, I only do the things I see the Father doing, he said, when the voice comes to me, I make a decision, and my decision is righteous, it's just, because I do not consult or seek my own will. And so when you know how he's training you, you are hearing him. And when you hear him in the training, as you go through your day, whatever it is, if you're exercising patience or refinement or some of the things that you mentioned, when you're doing that, you're actually taking a pause to hear the Holy Spirit. How do I implement this? And the thought comes, and then you do it. And now you're working hand in hand with him. The Lord developed this ear in my life through coaching. I never didn't realize it was really going on because I knew that I didn't have the skill sets that some of these other coaches had that I was up against in this nation and also in the world. I didn't have some of the equipment that they had. I mean, the university had good stuff, but I didn't have some of the stuff these other guys had. And so I had to rely on the Holy Spirit. And so before I would coach, and when I had somebody in front of me, before I even said anything to him, I always paused. I always wanted to hear what he had to say. I did not want to assume because I may see something that's wrong, but he understands how to implement the words. He's the one that was directing me the whole time. But what I didn't understand is he was teaching me how to move prophetically in lives by listening to him. And no matter what was in front of me from that point on in the future, he had an answer for it. Isn't that rich? And what I'm saying to you is that you have the same thing going on inside of you. Every believer has the mind of Christ. But to actually have that in operation in your life, to have that flowing through you like a river, there are keys to it. And we have some of these things in the Word, and when we read the Word, we need to understand there are things in there that if we will apply them, if we will actually do them, then we will be blessed in our doing. It's getting back to obedience. You know, I can obey God. God can say to me to go do something, and I might obey him. He might tell me to go to a place that I don't want to go to. I mean, every time I went to China, I felt like I was being punished. And my last trip to China was in Wuhan in 2019, in June. And the only reason I said I'm being punished because they were very good at diving, A, and B, they did everything to get an advantage. And see how their judges cheated all the time. It just really bothered. I just didn't like being there. And it was very competitive. I did good there, but I didn't, you know, there was just always something I had to overcome, something in the atmosphere. The people there are wonderful. And when I'm sitting there and I'm interceding in Wuhan prior, my tongues changed into warfare. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what was really about to happen. He tried to reveal it to me. Did after I left, he showed me actually what was going to take place, but it was over my head. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that God is repositioning you and getting you to a place to where you can hear his voice, because what you're going to be doing in the days to come, can you understand one thing, that Jesus, he was transfigured. Do you remember when he was transfigured? You look at Moses. Do you remember Moses when he came off the mountain and he was glowing and he had to put that veil on? You see, the thing is that when you're spending time and you're pressing into God in prayer, in the Word, and everything you do, you need to understand that you're coming in contact with power. And Moses reflected it. But Jesus radiated it. It's a difference. And the scriptures tell us this. Open your Bibles to, let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 40. I shared this in the video this week. I also shared this in a church this week. And this has been really just ministering to me, because I believe this is something that will help you in your season, because regardless of what season you're in, there's always a preparation in that season. And one of the things that we need to understand about Jesus is that, I want you to hear this, that holiness always precedes power. Holiness precedes power. Jesus spent 30 years and didn't do one miracle. 30 years of walking in the Spirit, waxing himself, as it says in the scripture here. And I'm in the book, in the King James Version, it says, and the child, that is Jesus, grew and waxed strong in the Spirit, filled with wisdom and grace. And the child Jesus grew and waxed strong in the Spirit, filled with wisdom and grace. The Greek word there for wax strong is kratēioio, and it means to increase in vigor, to be strengthened, and to become strong. It indicates a continuous, ongoing process of growing stronger in the Spirit. Hear that. It indicates a continuous, ongoing process of growing stronger in the Spirit. And this is something that you got to be aware of, that you know that you're doing it. You know you're waxing stronger in the Spirit. You've committed to it. And that's why the Holy Spirit sometimes will bring areas in your life and bring convictions of refinement and fine-tuning, whether that be in relationships, whether it be in what you do for a living, or how you interact with other people, regardless what it is. He will get very, very detailed in that refinement because he's after something inside of you. He's trying to get you to die to yourself. Because this walk is a walk of love. And then one of the things it says in the scripture about us, it says, they will know that I was sent because of the fact that the body loves each other. And so one of the things that the Holy Spirit is after in you and me and all of our relationships is that we will walk in absolute perfect love. Because perfect love casts out what? Fear. Do you understand? Can you hear hell just shaking just now? I can. They're afraid of you. Because when you start walking in real love, you start serving the Holy Spirit with everybody you come in contact with, hell can't do anything about it. They fall down every time. So that is why you are being confronted with what you're being confronted with right now. And so the Lord is fine-tuning you, but it's a process where you're getting, think about Wax On, that movie, what, Wax On, not Wax Off, we're waxing on, okay? Wax On, you know, and I used to, like, my car was, I'll never forget my first car. I washed that car every day. My dad said I was washing the paint off of it, and I'd wax that thing. But, you know, wax wears out after a while. You have to keep applying it. And that's why I'm encouraging that don't stop the process, regardless of the season, like she was talking about. I mean, you know, don't stop the process. Continue to apply the wax. So you can get the picture there of layering this wax more and more and more. It says that he was filled with wisdom there, and that Greek word there for wisdom is Sophia. It speaks of a wisdom, insight that grasps reality as God sees it and moves in harmony with his will. This is what Jesus was filled with. He was filled with Sophia, which speaks of wisdom, insight that grasps reality. That's so much important. That is one of the things you see of so many people struggling with now, reality. They don't know. We know how to live life. We know the truth. We have the corner on the market. We have the monopoly on the planet. We know the truth, and the truth has set us free. To have reality is a breath of fresh air right now, and you carry it, believe me. It says the reality, grasp reality as God sees it, and moves in harmony with his will. So he was filled with his insight. He grasped reality, the truth of what reality was in coming into the world, and he moved in harmony with the will of his Father. He had what we call godly perception. And that is something that takes time to develop, but it's something that you and I both need, because when you come up against any problem, regardless of what it is, you can have your opinion, you can have learned so many things and books and things like that, but at the end of the day, it's his perspective that counts in the situation. It takes time and it's skill to get into that place where you see God's perspective in a situation. Let me give you an example. I used to come home, and Kara's not here tonight, so I could talk about her. I love this woman so much. She's an artist, okay? I'm a type A, as you probably picked out. Probably think that I like things very neat, okay? Which I do. Well, Kara is not. She's an artist. And artists are explosive people. They will come in and in a matter, she can wreck a room in record time. And it used to be, and when we got married, you know, it was great. God put us together. It was miraculous, and I could share it sometime. I might have already, but she's messy, and I'm like, my gosh, what am I going to do? You know, how am I going to train this woman? You know, and there's no training her. God put her with me to train me. I just didn't realize it at the point in time. So I come in as things are exploding. So my perception. Okay, I have Todd's perception going on here, okay? And, you know, and so it became a problem. But finally, I just learned to live with it, you know? But God didn't want me to live with it. He wanted to teach me something in it. He wanted to give me his perspective, which I couldn't see. But his perspective is always rooted in love. And so when I come home now and there's a mess there, it's evident she's alive. It draws me to who that she is. And the appreciation I have for her and the love I have for her, it just grows. Can you imagine that? I've gone from Mr. Clean to that. How did that happen? Godly perception. She doesn't even know who I am anymore. I mean, literally, I cleaned up as she went to Vegas and she came home and the house was spotless because it's my opportunity to get it that way. But knowing it's not going to stay that way, it didn't even bother me. It was okay. In fact, I was wondering how long it would take. And it took a little bit longer than normal. And so in a sense, because I've learned godly perception, the Lord's working on her to keep a little neater. And I don't even have to say anything about it. So it's really cool. That's how God works. But what my point is this, that godly perception is necessary in your life so that you can process the stuff that is around you so the enemy can't distort truth around you and take away that peace. Because that's what he wants to steal. And he knows that he got you because he can tell by your behavior. I mean, he had a heyday with me for a while. But once I figure out his schemes, because harmony is very, very important. And one of the things that has to happen in the body of Christ is a unifying move of God where God brings us together as a unit, as an army unit, to go out and do this militant thing, which is evangelize the world with the gospel of the kingdom. And so that's what you're being prepared for. The other thing he filled him with was he filled him with grace. And that grace, that word there is kairos, and it means graciousness of manner or act, divine influence upon the heart and reflection in the life. Gratitude. You read that again. Kairos, it's graciousness, manner or act, divine influence upon the heart and reflection in the life. Gratitude. This is the inward working of God's power in you and me that transforms a person's inner being, their desires, as you brought out, their thoughts and their emotions. In other words, Christ-centered thinking. It shapes a person's life, leading to outward reflection of holiness, gratitude, and good works. I got to read that again. Kairos acts as both a pardoning force and empowering agent that shapes a person's life, leading to outward reflection of holiness, gratitude, and good works. I would like to say radiation radiates holiness, gratitude, and good works. And so Jesus was filled with this. And he walked it out. He radiated it. And so in the book of Malachi, it says, but who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Who can endure the day of his coming? And so the thing is that we can endure the day of his coming. Why? Because we have allowed ourselves to be refined by the Holy Spirit. And it's always a choice. God doesn't send anybody to hell. People choose to go there. But also, God doesn't make you be trained. You have to decide that you want to be trained. What did the prophet Isaiah say? He said, hey, God said, who are we going to send? And I prophesied, send me. But what happened to him before that? Before that, he was in the presence of God. He was undone. He said, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And the angel came and took and refined his tongue and took the fire and touched his tongue. And after that process of refinement, now he wants to volunteer. He wasn't made worthy because of his acts on the earth. He was made worthy by the fire of God that touched his lips, that trained him to become the mouthpiece of God. And so the refining fire that dwells in your midst is being illuminated and stoked, because the closer he comes to his return, the brightness of his coming will be seen within us. The prophet Isaiah saw it. He said that the glory of the Lord shall be seen on you. Stephen, before he was stoned, it was said that he had the face of an angel. He was radiating. Jesus was transformed. That word is, you read that word there, for when he was transfigured, that Greek word there is metamorphothi. It's a passive form of metamorpho. It means to be transformed, transfigured, or changed. This is what's key. The word denotes a changed and outward form or appearance that corresponds to the inner reality. I got to say it again. I think you got it. It means to be transformed, transfigured, or changed. The word denotes a change in outward form or appearance that corresponds to the inner reality. The inner reality that is in you is him. Can you understand when that said in the book of Thessalonians that we shall be changed in a twinkling of an eye? The inner reality that is inside you and me is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that came and became one with you, who has directed your life, who is speaking to you on a consistent basis. And that is your inner reality. And he is teaching you by his Holy Spirit to be transformed into that inner reality that you might become and bear his image in this earth. And so this process, this season that you and I are in, is preparing us for his return. It started back, you know, when he was resurrected. Remember, he spent 40 days appearing to them after resurrection, 40 days training them. And remember what they were concerned about? They weren't concerned about building a building necessarily and gathering a lot of people. They were concerned about getting the message out. Look at what they prayed for. They prayed for boldness. So what it is that you need is that you are being sent out into this world. And whatever season that you're in right now, you are outside these walls and outside the walls of churches, and you are to radiate his presence and be ready for it. Let me tell you something, saints. We've got a general in heaven named Jesus Christ, and when the Father tells him to come, he's going to come quickly. What did he say? I have come to what? Cast fire on the earth. But you know what? When he came and his sacrifice, his bounty is all humanity. He wants everybody. It's his family. So we are his messengers. We are his ambassadors in the earth, sharing the good news with everybody we come in contact with. This is the more you get into your season, the more you get into this being waxed in the spirit, the more you're going to have a heart for the lost. The more you're going to be reaching out to people that are around you. Because you're going to realize that the church does have something to do with his return. He says, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. And so that, you know, the enemy does his very best to try to keep us all pinned up in our forts and our buildings, but there's just too many people now getting the truth, living in the reality. And so God's going to begin to start to really move. Amen? God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. You see, I see my brother here. I want to give you a word of encouragement. Yeah, you've been really blessing me as I've been sitting up here. I know if you probably didn't notice you're being blessing me, but you were. Okay? And the reason burning me is because I really see how God has really refined you. The train harness of God is on you. There's no question about it. You know, you can't move to the left. You can't move to the right. He's got you right where he wants you. And he's got you. It's like you're just beholding his face right now. And I just see he's just teaching you to enjoy the moment. Enjoy the blessings that he's put around you. He's like you, all of a sudden you've seen the hand of God, how he really has moved in your life. And he's changed you internally, and it's like you're becoming a new person. And there will be people that know you in this next year to say, that person, I don't know who that is. That other person, he's dead. It's this guy, I don't know who he is. Something has happened to him. It's an internal thing, and it's like the transformation. These things that came at you were conforming influences. They are from the outside. The transforming power is from within. And that is what you've yielded to, because you couldn't handle the conforming things that were coming at you. They were like one after another after another. And you, I see you with your shield of faith, you put it up, you quench those fiery darts, you know, and you did a good job with that. But it's caused you to reflect. And it's kind of, you know what, I can't continue the way that I've been going. And God is changing now some things for you. Now the doors of opportunity are going to open back up. I just want you to hear that, okay? Because I see a door opening up to you. But if a door shuts, there's a reason for it. God has slammed a lot of doors in my face. I'm so thankful for that. Because he kept me from going or continuing on. I'm kind of like you. I won't stop. I'm committed. And God sometimes has to get me to go into another place. So it's okay, okay? I just want to encourage you. A door is going to open up, but you must enjoy where you're at right now. You've got blessings that are around you. God's just loving on you right now. You're healing. And you're going to just enjoy and get into the healing. The comfort of the Holy Spirit is one of the most awesome things, to be in his hand. You know, I like to lay on my bed at night and just think I'm in his hand sometimes. You know, I used to have a water bed years ago. I miss that bed. I don't know why I grew up. And it wasn't one of those water beds that, you know, got all the baffles in and all that junk. This thing was raw, filled with water. You hit one of it, it rode the wave, man. You know, and it wasn't thick, so, you know, it got a hole in it. You'd wake up in water sometimes. This is the way it was, you know. But, man, just laying in that thing. I'll never forget filling that up and my mom going out. She didn't want my waterbed in that house, you know, and I found one time she was yelling at me, and I set it up when she wasn't there. And you know, one night I came back home, she didn't know I was coming home that night. I came back, guess who she was sleeping in that waterbed. Amen. But that bed was just, I remember turning that heater up, and it was nice and warm. I moved down here in South Carolina, I landed in Olympia. My first footstep in South Carolina was in the ant pile, fire ants. Yeah. And then I took a shower that night, and someone set me up an apartment, and this big old water, you know, that palmetto bug was in the shower. It flew on me. I mean, I had to kill it with my hands, bare hands. I was not sure if this is God now, because God told me to come, and I mean, literally, and we couldn't afford heat, so, you know, it was just the waterbed being hot, but it seemed to attract all those bugs to the heat. It was not a good thing. Yeah, it was just, that's the way it was. And And, you know, the Lord told me my wife was down here. And so, of course, everybody admit, I thought it was my wife. They weren't my wife. I mean, I was a biker girl or this or that, and they were alcoholic or whatever. I was just all kinds of stuff. But eventually, God got me in line. You know what I mean? But I just want to say, there was a time there where the comfort of God, I had to be still before Him. And that's just where you're at right now. So just enjoy the time. Amen? God's hand is on you in a mighty way. You're always going to do the right thing. I just want you to know that. You have a drive inside of you to do what's right. And see, when you do something you don't think is right, you persecute yourself. Okay? And you've been beating yourself up. And God says, I have forgiven you. Okay? A. B. Stop beating yourself up. Okay? Because you have the desire to do what is right. And you're going to do it, brother. Amen. You have kids? 2? 3? You have a son? Praise God. What's his name? Yeah, I was going to say you have a prophet in your family. Well, that guy, he's going to be seeing some things in dreams, okay? God's going to give you interpretations. You are going to get the interpretation of these dreams. Don't be surprised. Even these two, it's going to start happening. I remember back when I was real young, I had these dreams. Now I look back and I knew it was God talking to me when I was a little kid. I saw this stuff. And just know that. So just don't be surprised, okay? And just enjoy that son of yours. Amen? God is so good. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, a season of religion. I think I heard you say that. Was it you? Season of religion? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, you know, there was a time I had a thirst for truth, you know. I just did. I wanted to know the truth of everything, you know. I wanted to know the truth of what happened in the garden, you know. I mean, I didn't believe that a snake started talking. I really had to study that out. There's more to that story. It really is. You really dig deep into that thing, you realize it was talking about a being, not a, you know what I'm saying? And you really study the Hebrew words like that. But truth is something that, you know, it draws you in, you know. And I just see you being drawn in. God really just sucking you in, man, to your mission. And you are going to complete it, man. You are a stalwart soldier. And God is a militancy. I think I might have ministered this over you before. You look familiar to me. But there's a militancy that's around you. And that militancy of the church. And God taught me that through coaching. But He did remove me out of that part of coaching into a different level of coaching. So you're going to be, don't think that where you're at is your final stop point. It's not. It is a preparation to springboard you into something else. So God says, begin to open up your horizons, because I am creating around you, even now, a way out and a way in. A way out and a way in. So you're being trained right now and you're being conditioned. And just understand that, okay? See, the reality of God, the perception of God is going to illuminate you in a way that you're going to greatly appreciate, because it's going to give you understanding to be able to digest all the events that you see. Because when you see Him as He sees them, it's going to change it out. And that's very important. I see God also removing you and giving you the mind of Christ instead of the way that you might process it. I've done this 1,000 times where I don't understand why certain things happen. You know, you read, you know, why, Lord, does this happen? Why has that happened? Why has this disaster hit this place? You know, all those things, you know. But He has a way of communicating to give me understanding to be able to process events that are negative. And there's something that has hit you in a way that has affected your mind at times. But God's going to heal all that. He's going to give you His perception. And once you grasp that, once you get to that final lesson, He's going to pull you right out. And He's going to put you into this other place. And brother, you're going to excel. Because hell is afraid of you. I'm telling you, is afraid of you, because you will not hesitate. When you know that you can go and you can pull a sword out and you can go, when you know it's time, the right timing, it's justice, the righteousness of God, I see the righteousness of Christ Jesus being manifested through your life. And when you know it's time, you know, it's like casting out a demon. I'll never forget, I'm at Durban, and I'm walking with Apostle Peter Van Niekerk. And we're just talking, and all of a sudden, this woman just is sitting there walking, and he just goes right up to her, just starts casting this demon out of her. I'm like, and like she starts manifest, starts screaming, and like, so I go with him, you know, and this, I'm like, this, we're going to get arrested. This, people think we're accosting this woman. And you, well, you know he is. I mean, he didn't give me any kind of warning, but that's the way he is. He is aggressive when it comes. When God says go and cast out a demon or go after something, that's just the way the guy is. It doesn't matter where we're at, and that's who you're going to be. I mean, literally, there's a deliverance ministry that you're going to see manifested over a period of time, and you're going to start, the gift of discerning your spirit is going to start to function. It's already been functioning. You just aren't completely recognizing how it works yet. And that's where this training is in your life right now. It's amazing. Man. You will, though. You're just in the training process. But you know, the thing about it is, okay, now I remember. Now I remember. You didn't have a hat on at night, did you? Oh, see, you can disguise tonight. So you're seeing a lot, but that's where the Holy Spirit's going to give you a way to perceive it, which will help you. Because, you know, like anything else, if you're called in war, a good friend of mine, Ron Campbell, I'm going to have Ron here. He's been dealing with a lot of people with vets and stuff like that, things that they've seen and stuff like that, gone through, and being able to help them process by seeing the perception of God, very, very important. And it, because you, how do you deal with stuff? You know, how do you deal when you see something that's tragic? And everybody, maybe you've had different tragic things happen in your life. But the thing is, the reality of God and the reality of heaven and the reality of truth, man, how can we process anything on this earth? There's no way to do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. God is so good. Okay, let me get a couple more and then we'll go right to you. I don't know who it is yet. I think it's you, though. Back. Amen. God is so good. Yes. What's your name? Summer. Amen. You look like a Summer. Well named, amen. God is so good, amen. You know, the blessings of God can come upon us and overtake us. You know, Peter, the blessing of God came when Peter was, remember Jesus said, go cast out, you know, go out and fish some more. He was so overwhelmed by the abundance of God, the excess, I mean, it destroyed him, literally, to the point to where, I mean, you almost wonder, I mean, how much money did he make off that haul? Did it give him enough where he actually could walk away from his job? Was it millions and odd dollars? I mean, the scriptures don't tell us, but it blew him away. There's an excess coming in your life, a blessing that's going to be overwhelming in your life. Not that God wants to destroy you, by the way. I wanted to point that out, okay? But it's something that brings us to our knees. A reality, it's a lesson, there's a teaching in it. And it could be because that your life has been a life of giving and God can trust you with this. So I just want to encourage you in that, because you know, when you give when you don't have, or you give when it kind of hurts, you learn through that, you know. I think I'm talking to myself again. Gosh, amen. He's just telling me to do something. So I just want to encourage you in that giving ministry. Amen. God really can bless people around you. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. It's something I just see that grips your mind at times. It's people that are very smart, like yourself, that can be analytical and analyze. It's like, you know, the orange, and the orange has a peel, and there's all kinds of little things in there, and you pull it on the orange, and I wonder what it tastes like, and it goes over and over and over, and God is going to give you rest from that. Amen? It's like you're trying to figure out, and you're trying to hear from him, like you're trying to hear from God too hard, you know? And God's going to give you peace, okay? So you can be able to hear him, okay? Because he's speaking. he's speaking. But, you know, when there's a lot of different thoughts up there going on, it's like he's got to get through those weeds. And I just want to encourage you tonight that, you know, just to rest in him. The rest is beautiful in the Lord. God just wants you to rest. It's you know, it really, when he says it's his battle, it really is his battle. And you've given it to him. It's like you've taken it back. When you're thinking about it and overly, you're taking it back. And he just said, just give me that. You know, it's mine. It's not yours. So he's got it now, or at least I got my hand, whatever it is. Okay? And okay, you just rest. Just figure out who you're going to give your $1 million to, or whatever it is God's blessed you with. That might be $1 million. It might be whatever. It's one more here. Who is it? Oh, it's you. Amen. God is so good. Praise the Lord. What's your name? Matilda? Is it Matilda? Praise God. How are you doing tonight? Okay. I'm not scaring you, am I? Okay, good. Amen. Amen. I just, you know, I just want to give you, I talked about my wife earlier, you know, how creative she was, and you know, God gave her just some very witty ideas to create this lotion candle. Back in 2010, you know, she's a graphic designer and she's just lost her job and her graphic design business was going down the tubes, and she's up in her office, and God gives her a candle lotion formula. How's that happen? I have no idea how you jump from that to the candles. And she creates this candle lotion. And in fact, Lex, we made many candles, didn't we? That's right. And it was funny is that, you know, she goes down to Charleston and just goes in a couple shops and asks them, convinces them to sell her candle, which she's an awesome salesman. Just, they do it. And so the amazing thing to me is someone bought one and took it to New York to his girlfriend's mom, who was Marla Thomas's administrative secretary. Marla Thomas was a movie star or whatever, but she raised us all the money for St. Jude's Hospital, for the charity. So she calls my wife up and says, can I sell your candle on my website for Valentine's Day as one of my favorite things? And see, we're not a manufacturer. She's making it off her stove. And so my whole garage turns into all these tables, and we start making thousands of these candles. Now, I'm like going like this because I can't figure out how that could happen. But that's the kind of things that God's done. You have a creative gift within you. And God is going to give you very witty ideas. And don't worry if other people think it's crazy. Because when my wife came home, I invented a candle. One thing, I thank God shut my mouth. Because I'm thinking in my head, they've already been invented thousands of years, but okay. Because that's exactly what I was thinking. And she goes, it's a lotion candle. Okay, great. She goes, well, can I pour wax on you? Yes. It's true. And so I put it in my hands, and the hands became soft immediately. And I'm like, God, you got something here. The reason why I'm saying that to you is that the enemy is trying to bother you. I see you really being bothered at times. You know what I mean? And that's not from the Lord, okay? And it's not from you either. Because not every thought you have is your thought. Sometimes you have thoughts bombarding you. They're coming from the outside, outer space or whatever, you know, and or wherever they're coming from, the enemy or whatever, and they come into your mind. You have to capture those thoughts, because if they don't build you up, if they don't strengthen you, if it doesn't make you closer to the Lord, then they're not from him, and you don't have to take them, and you can flush them. And you can even say, that's not my thought, okay? Because God wants to build you up, because this creative gift that you've got inside you, God wants to illuminate it with his power. And so you get an idea to make this, just make it. Or whatever you do, it doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't matter if 50 people think it's crazy. What matters is that you followed through with a thought that you got from God that gives you pleasure and makes you happy. Because God wants to make you happy. I just see the Spirit of God filling you up with his joy. And there's a transformation that's going to happen this year. This word is going deep within your heart. This is not just a guy talking to you. This is going deep within your heart. The joy of God is going to literally transform you from the inside. And you're going to realize this is God, because he's quickened you and he's taken away the tears. He's given, even when you look in the mirror, you're not even going to see yourself the same way. I see you laughing in the mirror. I laugh in the mirror too, but it's for a different reason. Wow, I thought I got all the gray hairs plucked out. There's two more that appeared. I keep trying to knock them out, and they keep coming back. They came in my nose first. I guess I got a wise nose. Amen. Praise God. Alicia, come on up here. You said you had something to share? Come up, share.
Okay, it started in 2007. I had a dream where, because I live down Amex Ferry Road, if y'all are from here, down on Chicken Curve. Those who are really from here knows where Chicken Curve is. So I'm down there. I live down there, and I had a dream that there was this huge river in Chapin. This is 2007. My daughter's one, so I was sleeping that night, I guess. She was little. But there was this huge river, and it was it. If anyone knows where Gore and Gore Dentistry is, it was around in that area. So, but there's this river there. And there was this old dilapidated like stand, like a deer stand, but it was an angel station. It was like an angel station, but it used to not be a dilapidated deer stand type thing. And he'd just been waiting there. But in this river, because the river, there was some, it was like not a dam, but it was like a power generating river, but it was very dilapidated and rusted and old. And I walked up and I was like, and I knew that this was an old river of God. It was a river of God running through Chapin, okay? And the Methodist, former Methodist church was sitting in the middle of the river of God because I saw church there. And I walked and I went to the, walked up to the angel. He goes, thank God you're here. I've been waiting for someone to realize that we're here. And he gave me, it's like, okay, now you're in charge or something like that. I can't remember what it was. It's like, okay, now that you've seen me here, I can go back. I'm done with my assignment. What in the world? So I called my friend and said, hey, there's a river of God running through Chapin. And in the river, in this dream, I saw like wheelchairs. I saw like crutches. I saw this just huge creative miracle river. It was huge. It was like way bigger than like the Broad, okay? And so I'm like, me and my friend went on a journey. I'm like, okay, we're going to see where this river starts. And we figured out where we sensed where it started, and it was running down Peak Street. If y'all know where Peak Street is, it was running from this place down near where John lives, actually, in that area. You know, John Shealy, my favorite John Shealy. In that area, it runs down Peak Street. I didn't see it going down Peak Street. It just went on down. I'm like, well, where did this come from? This is kind of nice. And so now that I'm aware of the river, I'm going to C4, the Methodist Church, and I'm sitting in church, and I'm going like this, like, oh, boy, the river's running really hard today. Because it was, I was, you know, in the middle of the current. And I'm like, why is no one feeling this? So there's a river in Chapin. What the Lord showed a group of us intercessors. This area, I'm from here. I'm a native from here. And 1752. I call myself a 1752 local. The Lord showed a bunch of intercessors that Azusa Street somehow had come to Chapin, and they rejected it. We repented and we handled that, but something happened in Chapin where God created a river. Let's fast forward to today. Me and some intercessors, Sharon Barnes was one of them. We went to all of the, you know, 76 into Chapin, all the entrances into Chapin, and we prayed over all the entrances into Chapin years and years ago. So tonight at the SCDOT, hello, this is what Chapin's going to look like with all the new roads. It's going to be interesting. Well, Mayor Bill Mitchell, who I've known for years, stands up in that meeting and says that him and some pastor friends and other intercessors had also gone to, years ago, gone to the entrances of Chapin, the roads that come into Chapin, and put a little rock there that had Psalm 24, come in, King of Glory. What he didn't know is Sharon Barnes and I had done the same thing. So tonight, the mayor of Chapin stood up in this huge crowd and said, he preached a bit. He said, he talked about his rocks. He welcomed and he said publicly, "We want the King of Glory to come in Chapin." So he did a prophetic act in front of all these nice Lutherans. Or maybe not, you know, people, okay? So it was at Mount Horeb. Welcoming the King of Glory to come into Chapin. So the head of the government of Chapin basically said, "Come on in, King of Glory." So with the river of God that's here, and with that prophetic proclamation, I think we need to get ready.
And you know, that mayor was sitting in here, and he got a prophecy. I didn't know he was the mayor. I didn't know who the guy was. Yeah, I didn't know any of that. But, I mean, I was amazed, like, when the Lord was talking to him, he was saying all that stuff, and I'm like, who's that? What guy do? He's going to be doing all this stuff. Anyway, well, praise the Lord. Alyssa, why don't you come up here real quick? We're going to pray with you real quick since you're on your journey. Yep. Who is the King of Glory? Amen. Amen. Come on up here, Liz. Everybody point your hands up here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we just lift up this vessel to you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, this is the foundation that was laid tonight. In your ministry. And this is an ordination. So people say you're ordained, you can say you're ordained because God's ordaining you right now. He's setting you aside. The Holy Spirit told me to set you aside. He spoke to me three or four times before I called you and said that he was setting you aside. And you're going to move as a prophetess. And the words of knowledge are going to flow like a river through you. God is going to supernaturally connect you. There is a work that is being laid in a foundation right now that is going to be public at some point in time, and you will be a part of it. And then God is just simply preparing you for that, so in your travels, as I already shared with you, that you are being directed to pray for the cities that you go to, and the Holy Spirit is going to show you certain specific things about each city. You're going to get familiar with what God is going to do in those cities, but also you're going to be able to discern the very things that oppose the things of God. You're going to become aware of even crime and things like that nature, but God will direct you as an intercessor. God says you must first learn to intercede and stand in the gap as he prepares you to be his mouthpiece. So just be encouraged. The Holy Spirit is upon you. He's going to quicken you. Even in the night seasons, you're going to begin to experience vision dreams because you're young. Young people have visions. Old people have dreams. So you're going to have visions, but they're visions within dreams. And you're going to know that they're visions because you actually will be able to feel. It'll feel like you're in this realm, but you're not in this realm. You'll be able to feel and touch, smell, taste, see things. And these are going to begin to come to you in waves over specific cities. So just be encouraged. Tonight is a good night. Father, I ask you now to commission this vessel, Lord God. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you've deposited the gift of words of knowledge, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for the visions, Lord God, that are going to appear and move through her, Lord. Father, I thank you that you're opening up doors of understanding because as she is sacrificed, and the thing that Lord says, you said to me, how long do I have to be before I'm prepared? It's not you that needs to be prepared. It's the other person that's being prepared. Amen? So that's the holdup. So just be encouraged in Jesus' name. And in all due time, all good things are going to happen for those that wait upon the Lord. Amen. God is so good. Father, I just thank you for this vessel now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what you've given me to give to her tonight. I give to her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For you've not gone this way before, says the Spirit of God. You've not known this path before. But I'm opening up doors unto you and new paths, new lights. And you'll be able to be a light in those places. So understand that this way is the way of strength. This is the way of love. This is the way, as they called it even many years ago, it was called the way. And you are in the way. God says, I will provide. Six figures shall be to come seven. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's so good. Amen. God is so good. Amen. Good service. Amen. Sister, why don't you, I got something for you. Why don't you come on up here? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go ahead and close out. Everybody scatter. Huh? You know, let me check real quick, because I was curious about that.